This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
We're talking tonight about what you can get online these days. It's amazing what you can find when you pop on the internet. But recently, something very special has been put online. It's called the Codex Sinaiticus. John, what is it?
It's beautiful. It's the oldest complete Bible. It's a document that's been in the British Library since the 1930s, was discovered century before that in Sinai in Egypt. And it's a 4th century Bible written in Greek, Old and New Testaments, and it's just gorgeous. And they've photographed every page and put them up online, so you can go check your favourite Bible verse and go look at it in its original texts.
Is that what a codex is? It's a putting together of the manuscripts?
It's Latin for book.
Yeah, means
so
book.
So it's the book found in Sinai, Codex Sinaiticus.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And you can look at it all online now. I hope we have the web address. If we don't, we'll put it up on the 103.2
site.
If
you Google Codex Sinaiticus, it comes up.
Okay, so it's been around the library for a long time. Now you can look at it wherever you are in the world if you've got internet access. That's a wonderful thing. Now, this is way before the printing press, isn't it? So how was it put together? How was the codex made?
Yeah, well, it's made of animal skins. That's the pages are made of animal skins and folded over and then written, you know, dried out, folded over, written on, and then, you know, bound together in this enormous book. I mean, it's huge. It's beautifully written and designed and probably something like 300 goats were killed in the making of this this one book. It's on display in the British Library, and scholars have always had access to it. But what's new about this is that the average person could just go check it online now.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Now, what's in it? Is it the whole Bible?
It's the whole Bible. But interestingly, it has two extra books at the back of the New Testament. Which I know some people think, oh, wow, you know, that doesn't sound very good. But they seem to be like an appendix. It's not as if these two extra books were considered by the people who put this together part of the New Testament, because they appear after Revelation, and they're kind of epistles in character. So if the compiler thought it was part of the New Testament, they would have been back with the epistles. Instead, they're put at the end. But that's basically the difference between Codex Sinaiticus and an average Bible.
Now, John, I know when you look at this ancient manuscript and you compare it with the Bible you might buy off a bookshop today, there are differences. So that story about the woman who was caught in adultery, for example, isn't there. I mean, is that a problem?
Well, it shouldn't be to anyone who actually reads, you know, a modern English Bible, because in every modern English Bible you have a footnote, and sometimes it's not even in the footnotes, right on the page there in bold. Just before that story, it says this story doesn't appear in the oldest manuscript.
So the people who put this stuff together are being honest about it.
Yeah, and there's only a few passages that are like that. The other is at the end of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 16, verses 9 forward. There's another great big statement there that this passage didn't appear in the earliest manuscripts. So John, the original writer of John, probably did not include the story of the woman caught in adultery.
Do you reckon it happened?
Oh, actually, most scholars think it happened as a story.
Well, how do they work that out?
Well, it has all the character of an oral tradition. That is, Christians used to tell the stories of Jesus, not just in written form, but they used to tell the stories of Jesus in oral form. And it seems that people loved this story and wanted it to be included in the New Testament. And so somewhere along the line, probably 2nd century, they decided this story had to be included somewhere. Actually, in some manuscripts, that story appears in Luke's Gospel. But its most common point is in John chapter 8. And, you know, even the people who put the Greek New Testament together, the modern scholars who put the Greek New Testament together from which we get our English translations, agree this story really happened. It's just that it wasn't originally written by John.
Okay, we're getting a bit nerdy here, but let's see what the press said about this.
If the hat fits,
codex,
mate.
That's right. So the BBC reported this, saying, look, the codex actually cuts out references to the resurrection, which, you know, the Archbishop of Canterbury said these are essential to Christian belief. Now, that has to be a worry, right?
Well, that's a bit naughty of the BBC to say that. I mean, I think the BBC is fantastic, but that's stirring up unnecessary problems. I think all it means is that little passage at the end of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 9 to 20, which mentions Jesus rising again, isn't there in Codex Sinaiticus. And this is mentioned in every English Bible as well. That contains a resurrection appearance or two.
But there's plenty more about the resurrection.
There's stacks about the resurrection, even in Mark's Gospel.
Yeah.
So it's not like the whole doctrine of the resurrection is thrown into error.
It's not like the media to be cheeky. And there are lots of little minor corrections in the book I've read. I mean, that suggests maybe someone's tampered with it over time.
Well, not tampered with it. The scribes who put this together made mistakes, and they'd rub it out and come back and fix it up. And then later in time, after the original copying of this document, scholars would get other really ancient manuscripts and correct the manuscript in front of them. The thing with the New Testament is we have thousands of manuscripts of the New Testament. So we're in a brilliant position to work out what was really in them. And the fact that we have all these little tiny errors along the way is actually a good thing. It tells us how much we know about the manuscripts that we can now get to a more accurate version.
And how hard people were working to make sure that they were accurate in doing it. Yeah. One more thing I've read in the media is that there's a claim that in one of the passages in the Codex, Jesus is actually angry as he heals a leper instead of, you know, we'd think of him being compassionate in healing a leper. Is there anything to that?
No, actually, this was a little mistake the BBC made in reporting this. Codex Sinaiticus has the word compassion at this point. It's getting confused at that point with another manuscript that does have Jesus being angry, but that seems to be a copyist error. Okay. Most manuscripts have compassion.
So the Codex survives, the BBC doesn't. Well, I can imagine that some people might say that all of this really challenges the claim that the Bible is inspired. You know, which Bible are we talking about? How do you respond to that?
I don't think it challenges at all. The doctrine of inspiration only ever referred to what was originally written. So when Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians, he was inspired. But the doctrine never said that everyone who copied that letter after that was also inspired not to make mistakes. We have many different copies of the letter of Galatians. Some of them have errors in them, but we have so many copies of Galatians now that we can work out what are the errors and what aren't. We are in a much better position today to know what was in the original than we have ever been.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.